The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Today for me is Bible study day. It's Bible study day. So I want to lay down some principles before we begin. At the midweek, at the first day of the week service, we took time and explained to you how to go about your fast. And I don't want to go into it again, except I have time, I will go into it. And we gave you the slides, the revelations that the Lord has given me concerning this fast, such that by the second day of the fast, I have started already dreaming the dreams that I have to deal, have things to deal with at the second day of the fast. If you're fasting, there are some specific guidelines you must follow. If you're not following those guidelines, you are on a hunger strike. If you're not on a hunger strike, you are on a weight loss program. Or you are on a detoxification program. If it is for spiritual purposes, the slides are giving you free. We have a place all FEM builders are now. Either you are breaking the limits, which is for the unmarried people, or you are at God's secret weapon. This is for people who are members of our church, or those who are members of our church. But there is a particular WhatsApp they call FEM Foundation. It's Telegram. They go there and load information. So I want to find out from Ikenna, did you release the slides? You released it. God will bless you for your obedience and bless your generations too. If you now refuse to go and check, because the challenge with many of us who go to churches, we preach the thing to you. You leave it for us. It's not for us. It's for everybody. The thing I told you to do, I am doing. I have selected the kind of fast. I have selected the challenge I'm going to add to the fast. All of that, I have done that. What I'm going to do 3 days, I taught you so that it won't be that there are secrets I'm not sharing with you. So I beg you as I have never begged you before. Is there something to write? To start. Today, I'm going to be looking at something that is very troubling. Pastor Ben is at MSP, that is our campus outreach at Ekpoma. I will join tomorrow. I'll be looking at something very, very troubling. And what I'm going to teach today is very, very technical, and I want you to wake up. This is the reason many of us in Christianity don't enter their destiny. Your destiny is that thing that God said when you come to this world, this is what you will do. And this is also the reason why many people who are born again, who have given their life to Christ, please give me water, who have given their life to Christ, don't know whether they are in class one or class two. One of my very wonderful family members, my sister says, he said, I don't know the class I am, whether I'm in class one or in class two. Some of us who are born again, they don't know that they're in class one or class two. They don't know what to do with the salvation. And then you have someone who is in a witch, or someone who is in Freemason. He knows what to do. So I said, I'm using something extreme to explain so I can get you to understand. A little boy in a village knows how to send thunder and how to bring it back. And he's in the Bible. How to send thunder. They know how to drive rain. They know how to bring the sun. Even in the areas of society, say they stone the person. They know how to stone. Why? The technicalities of their religion, they have been able to be a part of it. For those of us here, I want you to go beyond what to eat, what to drink, the blessings of God. The blessings of God is good. Receiving the blessing of God is good. But if your soul is not prospering, you, It means that after some time, the person will enter a dry season. That's why Paul said, I didn't say that I have already obtained it. He said, I didn't say I'm already perfect or I've already obtained it. But what I'm saying is that I'm pressing to lay hold of the things that Christ has laid hold for me. In other words, Christ has gotten this thing for me. I'm not saying that I have gotten it. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm pushing, I'm pressing, so that this thing that Christ has gotten for me, so that I will also have it. That's what Paul said. The things that Christ, the things that pertains to salvation, that Christ has given to us, that Christ has bought for us, let's take delivery of it. So prosperity is what Christ is expecting us to have. It's good to receive an answer to prayer. You pray, you get an answer. It's very good. There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm saying the short-term answers. How about living in that place of dominion consistently? That's what we're talking about. So I'm going to be discussing slumbering spirits. So the question becomes, and I'll be looking at, if time permits me, the 9 functions of the person, of the person's spirit, that is your spirit, the 9 functions of your spirit. Man is a spirit, has a soul, lives in a body. So this is you. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. This is your body, this is your soul, this is what makes you up. This, your spirit, has 9 functions. Any of the functions that is not working will affect you. I say this is your, okay, this is your spirit. This is your soul. This one has 9 functions. If any of these 9 functions is not working, if any of them is not working, it will affect the body. Thank God we have about 3 or 4 medical doctors in church. The systems of the body, I heard is about 12 or 13. Please correct me. The systems of the body, is it 12 or 13? 12. There are 12. And of course, all of you know that when Jesus came, he chose 12 disciples. And of course, if the systems of the body, doctors, correct me, there are 12 systems of the body, and 2 shuts down, what's going to happen? Let's make it as interactive as possible. Any of the doctors, take microphone and help me. 12 systems, 3 shuts down. And they were shutting down simultaneously. What's going to happen? Give doctor a microphone. What's going to happen? Doc, stand up quickly. This is Bible study.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If 3 of your systems actually shuts down at once, I would be surprised from a medical point of view if you survive.
If you survive, yes. Beautiful. So, listen, in the body, what if 1 shut down? Let's reduce it to 1.
It depends on the one that is shutting down.
Did you see that God is so systematic? The doctor is telling you it depends on the one. Because there's one that will shut down, that one is equivalent to 2. Just like there are 12 systems in your body, your spirit has 9 functions. If any of those functions shut down, your soul, you know that your soul has 12 gates. We have taught you before. Your soul has 12 gates. Your body has 5 senses. They have told you now that there are 12 systems in your body. If anything happens to your spirit, doctors, you even pay me money for what I'm teaching you now. If any of these systems shut down, if any of these functions shut down, it will affect the entire body. That's what we're discussing today. So the subtitle, I will not be able to take the 9 functions. It says what your spirit is supposed to do. And I want to quickly read them one after the other. Number one, corporate worship. Those are the functions of your spirit. Number two, private devotions. Number three, hearing God. Number four, inspiration. You can get them from our website. Number five, transcending time. Number six, commune with and communicate with others. Commune with and communicate with others. Number seven, creating the glory of marital sexual union. These are functions of your spirit. I thought I've done this one. Number eight, protection from disease. Number nine, providing a good conscience. Let's take it one after the other again. The functions of your spirit. Number one. Number two. I know you love to copy. You can get the message. The most times that when you are copying the illustration, you miss it. You miss illustration. The note, you won't go back to it again. Number one. Number two. Okay, when we finish, they will put it on our Telegram. They'll put it on our Telegram. If you don't have Telegram, you look for who has, for the person to copy for you. Number two. Number three. Hearing God. Number four. Inspiration. Number five, transcending time. Number six, commune with and communicate with others. Number seven, creating the glory of marital sexual union. These are the functions of your spirit. Number eight, protection from disease. Number nine. You see why I said that the doctors would pay me money? Because this is, they didn't teach them in the medical school. I'm going to teach them. But we're not going to take the nine functions today. We're going to do some kind of introduction. What causes a slumbering spirit? What is it that will make your spirit to slumber? The word slumber is the word what? What kind of sleep is slumber? You have go-go. It's Bible study, eh? That kind of sleep, when you are sleeping it. Okay, look at what the Bible says. Israel's watchmen are blind. They are all without knowledge. They are all dumb dogs. I want you to check the metaphors. They cannot bark. Dreaming. Lying down. They love to slumber. I just want you to imagine a watchman who is supposed to be watching a city, watching a factory. He said the watchman is blind. Do they use people who have physical, who have problems with their sight, you are visually impaired, do they employ them as watchmen? Talk to me, church. Do they employ them as watchmen? Why? The main instrument for watching, they don't have it. And then look at another thing. He said the dogs are dumb. If you have a dog is supposed to be doing security work. If you have a dog that is dumb, when it is time to bark, what will the dog do? When I saw this metaphor this morning, I said, I'm going to show everybody what I saw. So the dog cannot bark. It will just lie down and sleep off because all the instruments that he's supposed to use to function are down. Israel speaks of royalty. We are God's royal people. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are the Israel of God. And God is saying, the people who are supposed to watch, to say someone is a watchman means that the original word is say properly, to lean forward. You know, when you are watching, after some time like this, you lean forward. If you are blind and you lean forward, what will you see? The word watchman is say to peer into a distance. You go and check into a distance to be sure that the area is calm and quiet. The word means to observe, to behold, to keep the watch. These are the functions of your spirit. Your spirit is the one that is supposed to do this. I don't want to preempt myself, but I want us to see all the metaphors. The watchmen are blind. The dogs are dumb. Because they are dumb, they have slept off, they are dreaming. Instead of keeping watch, they are dreaming and they are lying down. May your spirit not be like this. Amen. Let's go forward. The question becomes, why is it that a number of spirit-filled people, no matter how much ministry they have received, remain incapable of walking straight in the Lord? Haven't you seen many people who are born again? Who you know, some of them are even workers in church, not just workers in church, workers in the marketplace. Because in Fem Foundation, either you are doing ministry here or you're ministering in the marketplace, you look at them. You can't differentiate them from people who don't know God. They are not walking straight in the things of God. Why? They are gossiping. We are gossiping. They are manipulating. We are manipulating. They are hitting heads. We are hitting heads. A church is supposed to be a place where I come, I will find unity. I will find people who love me. That's what it's supposed to be. They are trading off themselves, and we are trading off ourselves. Those same things for which we see in the world, we say we don't want. Why is it that many people who say they are born again, they have received, we have prayed for them. We have been taking them 52 weeks. Every Thursday of the week for 52 weeks, you hear Pastor Ben's message. Many people hear from their churches. Your pastor preached for 52 weeks. There's anointing service. There's night vigil. There is a communion service. There is 80 days of fast, 40 days of fast. There's relationship programs, business programs, Key of David, Avalanche, business meeting, Cure for Desert Places. Even life group, counseling, inner healing. There's nothing the pastors have not brought. You saw some pastors have gone ahead to handkerchief ministry, anointing oil ministry, anything. In fact, a pastor even did a program, put a handbill, and put a bishop, late a bishop, and said, that is to show you that it don't knock body for ground, knock body for ground. You know, no waiting to do again. Why? This is a research I've been doing for over 2 or 3 years. I probably will have time to finish them. Why? We stand here, we say, we teach you on sexuality. We teach you why you shouldn't sleep with someone you're not married to. In fact, as we're even teaching you, you and someone are exchanging text messages inside the church on where you will rendezvous, where you will meet to finish what we started. We teach you that husband is supposed to die for the wife. As we are here, you and your wife are keeping malice. We teach you everything we have taught. So what is the problem? According to Ghanaians, what is the problem? So let's find out what it is. I made an analogy. Born again, spirit-filled, loves the Lord, attends church regularly, loves his family, but unable to discipline himself. And I picked one area, unable to discipline himself to pay his bills. Some of us, unable to discipline himself to not to commit adultery. Unable to discipline himself not to break your word. Covenant breaker. Unable to discipline himself in the areas of jumping from one native doctor to another in the name of looking for solution. There are some people, when they come to church or preaching, the best, they sleep. When they say prayer time, you will see them. They will jump from this and pray more than everybody. Meanwhile, the word is supposed to be the resource for the prayer. Why is it that many of us are unable to discipline ourselves? You make a promise to me, you break it. And when you break it, I ask you, you quarrel. Why are you quiet on me? It doesn't matter whether you are quiet or not. I made an analogy. He keeps falling into adultery. This guy keeps falling into adultery. Overdue bills. Breaks covenant with no apparent conscience about either the adulteries or the overdue bills. In fact, you can even excuse it that even mama and papa no say na so I be. As if mama and papa, we are God who has key of heaven. And so, okay, this your behavior now is now accepted in heaven. Mama and papa no say na so I be. Come on. No conscience. And the person is born again. No qualms about committing adultery. No comes about breaking your word. No comes about not having integrity. No comes about you buy something from me, you tell me you will pay tomorrow. I come now to ask you to pay. Quarrel don't come. Before you know it, it's everybody they owe self. Edo State, they owe U.S. When you were coming to buy that thing from me, today where this is a discussion night. There was one person who was sharing with us at our family devotion. The person who is stealing, as long as the person is not your thief, kill him. But if the person is your thief, for instance, if Anguli, I don't know Anguli, Anguli is the chairman of Ovioto Lagos government, he has stolen all the money, I don't know her, kill her. But if Anguli is my thief, I will join to protect her. You support buttons when it has to do with the thing, when he favors you, you support it. Someone comes to steal your neighbor's fuel because he will share with you, you keep quiet. But if it's another person, you shout, thief. And the challenge is, once you are confronted, you bring 220 excuses. Why did you come to choir practice late? It's a simple question. There are two answers. Please, I'm so sorry that I couldn't make it. You don't even ask me. You now start reading Macmillan Primary. You know, I don't even get money when I think. No, it's not the question. Why did you come late? These are the issues we are discussing. I have another one. He spends his life caught in the temptation and gratification of the moment. This person is living for the moment, unable to understand how his actions hurts and robs others. Firm builders, if you are not living in your destiny, your action will hurt others and rob others. It might be something as simple as when you finish eating biscuit today, you drop it on the floor, forgetting that someone is going to sweep it. If you are living in the moment of today, your actions will hurt others, your actions will rob others. A Christian is not supposed to. Never learned lessons from hard past experiences and has no awareness that destinies can be held at the courts of heaven. Listen to me, friends. Whether you like it or not, as we are sitting down here, there is a court meeting in heaven. If you have listened to releasing destinies from the courts of heaven, you will know what I'm talking about. If the devil finds anything against you, he will bring it to the court. Go and listen to this releasing destiny to the court. Listen to it. If he finds in the area of iniquity, sin, or transgression, he will take it to the court. He did it to Job. He did it to Peter. Jesus said to Peter, the enemy has desired that you are put on trial. The name of the devil is called adversary, Antidicus. Who is Antidicus? Someone who brings a lawsuit against someone else. So, some of the things you are doing, you are getting away with it. You really didn't get away. There is a day of reckoning. So that you take this fast and recollect and start afresh. Let's move on. This is a scripture to show you that there is a court in heaven. Daniel chapter 7 verse 10. The court began each section and the books were open. We have lawyers in church. They can prove that this is true. Have anybody ever seen this scripture before? Have you ever seen it before? Meet me in court. State your case and prove that you are right. That's Isaiah chapter 43 verse 26. So that when you are doing something, you are careful. There's a day of reckoning. The question I'm asking today is, what is it that is missing in our lives? Why are we not able to take hold of our lives and walk uprightly? Why don't we have a functioning conscience anymore? There are questions I'm asking. The reason is fractured and sinful practices in a person's character. Listen, if you keep doing something wrong, and the Holy Spirit keeps warning you through your conscience, this thing you're doing is not good. This thing you're doing. After some time, your conscience will no longer be a safeguard. Your conscience would have been seared with hot iron. So your conscience can't guide you anymore. Or your conscience will now be badly trained. If there are fractures and sinful characters, fractured and sinful practices in a person's character, after some time, it will dull your conscience. And your conscience is supposed to be one of the ways that the Holy Spirit is leading you. Firm builders, I'm bringing this message because I remember what the Lord said to me when this ministry was starting. I was at number 4 Azinge praying, and the Lord said to me, go raise me resource persons who will be resource persons to the world, that will be given out to the world as resource persons. And if you are going to occupy those positions and you have sinful fractures in your character, on the day of anointing, the day of announcement, the enemy will lift up a case against you. That's why we're taking this today. I'm taking another scenario. A verbally abusive born-again person who does not genuinely understand that his words harm others. You will apologize today, and next week you say it again. In fact, let me ask you, there are some words that should never come out from your mouth. The Bible says that your words should be seasoned with salt. If the word idiot is still coming out from your mouth, you have a wounded spirit. There is a crack somewhere. You are an animal. You are a goat. You are a vulture. There are some words that it shouldn't crush you anymore. Especially some of us who drive. Someone drives into your front from you. That the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You don't know how anointed you are. That when you open your mouth, something will happen. You open that mouth and release and lay curses. Forgetting that once you release a curse, it's like someone who has thrown a stone up is always going to come back. I spoke to my daughters, those of them I mentor on WhatsApp. I told them, if you hear them cursing someone on Facebook, don't curse. Because once you throw a stone, if you're a believer and you're verbally abusive, you abuse your children. Some of us, the thing you have said to your children, that's what is manifesting today. You said it in anger, but the Bible said you don't say before an angel, I was making a joke. I was joking. Some of us, you look at your children, you look at their character, you use it, you give them a new naming ceremony. You conducted a naming ceremony the day we were born. They do something, you give them a new naming ceremony. Some of us, if not your children, it is the person you are dating. The person misbehaves out of the person's woundedness, you give the person a name. I want us to watch it. What is responsible? What is missing? What is responsible for this kind of thing? Do you know that you may have gone through the ritual of saying, I invite Jesus into my life, I receive him into my life, but have never experienced the person of Jesus? If you have something and you don't know you have it, you really don't have that thing. The Bible says in him was life, and that life was the light, which means was for the development of men. If you receive the life of God inside you, what is it supposed to do? It's supposed to permeate into your behavior, permeate into the manner of your life, permeate into every dimension of your life. So some of us did the ritual. Some of us became Christians because you were born in a Christian home. Your parents took you to church. But actually, if you have received, there are two things that happens when you are born again. I always like to talk about foundations. When you are born again, you receive two baptisms. The first one is when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into you for fruits of the Holy Spirit. That is for fruits. Then there is now what is called baptism in the Holy Spirit. That one is for power. That's when you are not talking about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are not the same thing. These are the two things that happen when you are born again. You receive the Holy Spirit to bear fruits. Then you receive the Holy Spirit for baptism. It doesn't stop there. What else should you do? Some of us have just an intellectual knowledge of Christianity. I was saying to someone, I said, many people in Fem Foundation, you know big things. You don't know the small ones. You know 7 mountains. You know how to take the mountain of this thing, how to take a mountain. You know why you know those ones? Because it will benefit you personally. So you are learning the principles of how to conquer the mountain of technology so that you can blow. You know how to sing all the songs to bring down. The dynamics of Christianity is different from the relationship with the person. So as a pastor, I can be caught up with how this church should look, how the air conditioners are. I can be caught up with other dynamics and forget the real deal. As an usher, I can be caught off. Cure for this disease is coming. I can be caught off with the dynamism that has to do with ushering. The shirt we are going to wear, how the shoe will look, how the hair. And forget to yield yourself to the person of the Holy Spirit so that he can come into your life. So many Christians know God in an intellectual way. There are many people who sing in churches who have never met the God they are singing for. There are many preachers who have never met the God they are speaking for. There are many people who sit down in the pews to listen to the message, go back. All they know about God is intellectual knowledge. So that you sang that the Holy Spirit came down doesn't mean you have a relationship with him. He honors his word. That you preached, everybody were on the floor, doesn't mean it means that you prophesied it happened, doesn't mean that it is God that said it. Because how you know a false prophet is not just by what he says, what his character. Most times, we have reduced Christianity to an intellectual discussion. So you can be very, very close to the things of God and don't know God. You can be a pastor, you're not born again. You can be a lawyer, an engineer. You listen, to meet Jesus is not an intellectual thing. It is something that is you meeting. I gave one of my daughters a book to read, Zoe. She finished reading. She said, Mom, I think you should teach this to everybody in this church. He said, I thought I was born again until I read this book. And she said she has been in church since she was a little girl. So she's about 28 now. So in this 28 years, she thought she was born again until she began to understand that receiving the life of Jesus is different from having intellectual knowledge. So many of us, you know the 5 modal steps to healing. You know the 10 modal steps to deliverance. You know the key to sing. You know the protocol dynamics. You know how to do your ushering work, how to do your engineering work in the workplace. You know how to do your administrative work, but you do not have a relationship with Jesus. In this time of fast, I want you to ask yourself, if rapture happens today, will you go? If anything happens and the trumpet sounds now, you know it's a message that we don't preach in church anymore. I ask myself that thing every day. If by any means this trumpet sounds now, will you go? I will tell you how to get out of this place. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. How do you do it? Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you will grow in respect to salvation. I love the way this translation put it. So get rid of every evil, every kind of deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, and every kind of slander. Friends, I want you to look at all of that. Is there anything you need to get rid of? Is there anything you need to get rid of? He now tells you how to get rid of it. Desire God's pure milk as newborn babies. As newborn babies desire milk. Then you will grow in your salvation. You are saved. You are being saved. You will be saved. You are saved in your spirit. You are being saved in your soul. You'll be saved in your body. So which means they grow in salvation. The day you gave your life to Jesus, you received Christ. But ask yourself a question now. We now need to grow from being a baby Christian to becoming a mature Christian. John put it this way. He said, he talked about children. He talked about youths. He now talked about old men. Christianity is in levels. If you gave your life to Christ and you have not been drinking the milk of God's word through meditation, they teach you meditation in FDA. They teach you meditation. You won't grow. So you can listen to a beautiful message and come and preach it. It doesn't mean you have grown. That is just an actor, an actress. I can listen to Craig Franklin and come and sing his song. I can sing the song and not have the spirit he used to sing the song. I can sing a Bethel song without Bethel's spirit. I can be an administrative secretary in an organization without having the spirit of administration, because the spirit of administration is the spirit of Joseph. Joseph was a great administrator. I don't want to go into all of that. Desire the sincere milk of the word so that you will grow. So the more you take in the word, the more you grow. The less you take in the word, the less you grow. Let's go on. My dear friends, you always obeyed when I was with you. Now that I am away, you should obey even more. So walk with fear and trembling to discover what it really means to be saved. Paul is the one that is talking. He said, do you know what it means to be saved? Discover it, research it. Some of us can do research on how to make money on the internet. Do research on how to use a Ponzi scheme can work for you. Do research on how to be a good wife. Now, do research on what it means to really be saved. That is Paul that he's saying. He said, work it out. Salvation has been given to you free of charge. But it's going to remain dormant until you now begin to work it out. How do you work it out? The first scripture, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. If you don't do this, your spirit will sleep off. Symptoms of people who do not have an alert and functioning personal spirit. Why did I go ahead to explain all of this? If you don't read the Bible, your spirit man will sleep off. I'll just show you two. That is, I want to ask you why we are fasting so that you can use the opportunity to say, God, let the channels of my spirit open up. The person that sang that song, God bless him. The person, God bless him. He knows what he's talking about. I'm not that song, I want to put it in a message form. How do you know if your own personal spirit is awake? I will come back to this drawing. We are born with an alive and awake personal spirit. But that spirit needs to be met, welcomed, loved, nurtured through one physical affection. Those of you who are going to give birth, those of you who are still giving birth, those of you who have children, and those of you, maybe you don't have children, but God has blessed you with spiritual children. Children must be loved. Children must be nurtured. Children must be told that they are wonderful. You must always bring children. Make them know that they are good. You know why? We didn't pay any price to be called children of God. You must be the president of your children's fans club. If you don't do this, the spirit that the child was born with will slip off. Let's go on. If a baby growing from infanthood into childhood does not receive enough human touch, to that degree, his spirit is not kept awake or drawn forth into full functioning. If you give birth to a child, the doctors will check everything. They will check everything. Doctor, is it not true? They will check eyes. They will check to see. If one of my daughters gave birth, they were checking everything. The same way, if you give birth, when you are born again, I'm starting from the physical. The person's spirit is supposed to perform 9 functions. If the person, I don't want to go into technicalities of this. If the person did not receive nurture, did not receive love, was not welcome, some of these functions will shut down. The person's spirit is awake, oh, the person is not dead, but the entire functions of the spirit is not alive. Why? The thing that the spirit needed to come out to function properly, some of them was taken from the child. So the child is born, but the person has a very stony heart. So that's why you first say, this child is very wicked. We work with street children. You meet some of them. The things they do, you can't imagine that a human being will do it. And friends, let's not go too far. There are some human beings, there are some stories you have read. You are asking yourself, how can a human being imagine this kind of evil? How can a human being take another person's, take knife like this, cut off another human being's leg, or cut off, the person's spirit is not functioning. So the person's heart is hardened. So for those of you who are planning to marry unbelievers, I just want to let you know ahead of time that you're marrying someone whose spirit is not fully functioning. And I'm going to go to those of us who are Christians. Praise the Lord. Am I still your friend? Are you sure? Whether I'm your friend or not, I'm here to tell you the truth. Something is missing. The one that concerns believers. Okay? There are two kinds of slumbering spirits. In other words, there are two things that will make someone's spirit to sleep off. Why am I telling you this? Because we're going to take into times of prayer. Two things that can make someone's spirit to sleep off. Number one, those who never have been drawn forth to life. Those who never have been drawn, help me. Those have been drawn forth to life, who early in infancy have fallen asleep and can no longer function spiritually. That is, those who were never drawn forth into life. I will explain. Your spirit knows the gender you are. That's the Bible says, male and female created he them. While you are in the hand of God, God has called this person female. As you're passing from the hands of God into the quivers of your father, your father says, no, I want male. I want male. And they can quarrel about it. That person's spirit was never drawn forth. What God said to him and what he's experiencing in real life, there is confusion. And that confusion will make that person's spirit. You know that. You know when a human being is confused. Am I a boy? Am I a girl? Am I a boy? They told me I'm a boy, but this one says I'm a girl. They told me I'm a boy. This one says I'm a girl. It also happens to children who were born. You say they're unwanted. You say they're illegitimate children. They say, no, he's not. He's not the father. I'm not the father. I'm not the. So God says to the person, why the person was being born, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1 and 2. He said, you're a great woman. You're a champion. You are owned and loved. He enters the quivers of the father, gets into the quivers of the mother. The father says, you don't belong here. Nobody owns you. So there's that confusion. So the functions of the person's spirit is never drawn out. So what happens? The spirit sleeps. For those of us who are born again, this is one that concerns you. Those who did receive parental and other nurture, which kept them awake and functioning spiritually, but turned away from worship services, prayer, affection until their spirit sleeps, or fall into sin that quenches their spirit. Everybody, look at me, please. What makes a person's spirit to sleep off, to not to wake up, to slumber, first of all, is lack of love. The greatest need of a human being is love and belonging. If you remove this, you have finished someone. But those of us who are now born again, when you are playing with your prayer life, you won't pray. You won't read your Bible. You won't pray. You won't read your Bible. Your spirit man is like a muscles that you train at the gym. I used to do a lot of stomach exercise. For some time, I didn't do. I discovered that sometimes I would start having muscle pull in the stomach. The thing kept relaxing back. I used to run around. I would run around the golf. I would do about 5 times. The last time I went, I couldn't even do one. What? Those muscles have relapsed back. If you don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you make church optional. If you like, you come. God didn't put it there for it to be optional. What your spirit is doing like this. He's dozing. He's dozing small, small. Trafficating. Your spirit is trafficating. He's trafficating. Trafficating. What are you doing? The functions of your spirit, you are reducing it from 9 to 8 to 7 to 6 to 5. So when they now throw something to you from the coven, your spirit does not have the stamina to withstand it. So it's not enough to say, my blood is bitter. I'm unkillable. You can't kill me. If you touch me, you will die. When you finish saying it, you better know that you have the revelation in your heart. I'm a spiritual technician. If you don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you play with your spiritual exercises. I showed you the discipline on Sunday. I said the discipline a Christian should have confession of sin. And then there is worship, there is celebration, there is prayer, there is Bible study. If you are not doing that, you're getting your spirit man weak. And if sickness strikes, it can't take it. The next thing that defiles the spirit is sin. Especially sexual sin. Sexual sin is like when you take physics. You see these dysfunctions of the spirit. You take physics, forgive me for that word, and you pour physics. Just imagine a human being, a full human being with hands, with legs, with hands. Now, this human being, the hands are not working, the legs are not working. What will work? I thank God this is a period of fast. Why am I preaching this message? So that you can go and wake your spirit up. Pastor Peter, come. Just imagine, for you to understand this teaching, this is your spirit. Pastor Peter, be using your hands and your legs. Be using your hands and your legs. This is, he's swimming. Now, one hand is no more working. He's using one hand. He's swimming, oh. He's swimming. One hand is no more working. Be using one leg. Be swimming. One leg is off. Be using one. This one is now be using you. The head, the leg is off. How many of you love yourselves? So no matter how much prophetic word is released, your spirit can carry it. No matter the prayer they release on you, it's your spirit. Your spirit is the one that is in connection to God. Your spirit is supposed to be take it from God, transfer it to your soul, and then down to your body. We see it in your body, but it came from your spirit. Where the problem is if your spirit man is broken or crushed, you want to give it. Pastor Peter, come and give me something. Carry better thing, come and give me. Let someone give Pastor Peter money to come and give me. No, carry chair now. Let someone give money. Quickly. Let someone give him money. Must he be our pastor? Someone should give him money. No, don't call for Pastor Charles. He's one of us here. Let someone quickly. Give him money. Let him come again. Take him one. Now, this is God. Thrive means to take hold of. This is, now, Pastor Peter, come this way. You are God. Thrive means to take hold of. Take hold of. This is my spirit now, but the spirit is broken. Be giving me. Thrive. The instrument you're supposed to use to take hold of is not intact. So sometimes we are praying the wrong prayer. I called some of my daughters, one of us, I said, I want you to be here today. So the enemy of your soul, who is also in the spirit, who knows that once you break the head, he's giving the authority to bite you. Where God is shouting, thrive, my dear, I'm going to come, you'll be devil. Functions, 9 functions of your spirit. This is God, thrive. I'm here shouting, thrive, thrive. Now I have opened the door. Now you can now get me. I have opened, thrive. I begin to declare, thrive. I begin, now you pick me, you pick me. I'm shouting, thrive. I am thriving. Every demon that says, I won't thrive. Holy Ghost fire. What are you using to thrive? The instrument you're supposed to use to collect either the direction, the wisdom, the discretion to thrive, you don't have it. That's why this fasting is very important. Give me that. They say, I'll be teaching the 9 functions of humans. I will not be able to take it to you because I want you. I don't know that I've explained it well. I didn't say your spirit had died. I said the 9 functions. So you can see that the thrive is on the floor. Well, in the areas, so this person, in the areas of relationship with God, their own being, others and nature, they cannot function in their spirit because their heart is hardened. The less you pray, the more your heart is hardened. The Bible said, he said, they have covered their hearts with their eyes they can't see, with their ears they can't hear, so that they, if they hear and see, they'll be healed. And I want to check the translation says gross. Imagine when you have gross, those wax in your ear. So in the relationship with God, the person's spirit can function. There are 9 functions in the relationship. They say, heaven say, Pastor Peter, we have released for your tribe, in your tribe tray, in the book of your life for tribe, we have released that you're supposed to do 3, 4, 5 visits and make some impact with 3 nations in 3 months. If your spirit man is asleep, you are at war with yourself. You won't even hear it. You will quarrel with that prophecy. When God said to Sarah, Sarah will have a child, Sarah laughed. It was the covenant that God had with Abraham that he honored. So you are quarreling with yourself. So you are the one praying. Father, we begin to pray. We begin to call heaven to earth. Father, we take the key of David. When you take the key of David, it's blunt in your hand, because the function of your spirit is to put the key in the right place. Once you don't pray and you allow unconfessed sin to remain in your life, it will harden your heart. And once your heart is hardened, you can't hear and you can't be healed. That means they come to God mentally. We have many mental Christians. Very many Christians who are very highly, highly motivated. You come to church, you are highly motivated. You are a champion. You are standing on top of the moon. You are walking on the stars. Those words are true, but you can't carry it mentally. You have to carry it spiritually. Bill Gates does not carry these things mentally. Do you know why people go to junk occult? Because they know that you need a heavy spirit to balance things in the physical. So you have mental and emotional Christians who never met God. May you meet God this time. May you meet God. I'm not saying your spirit is dead. I'm saying the spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but for a broken spirit, who can bear? Doctors, if you are there here, when I'm teaching the last, I'm going to be teaching you how to do medicine from the realm of the spirit. I will teach you that one. So, the spirit of a man, sickness, first of all, they know that sickness, majority of the sickness is in the mind. When there are negative things in the mind, toxins are released. It affects the balance. But listen to me, the mind is connected to the spirit. When your spirit is broken because of some of these things I've mentioned, or your spirit is crushed, or your spirit is defiled, it can't resist sickness. That's why people of the other side, when you pass them, the first of all weigh you. You know what they weigh? They weigh your weight. That's Lamentations chapter 4, verse 2. Of verse 6, they weigh your weight. So that they will know whether you are a chicken. It's not everybody they kill. They themselves know that even in their covo, there are some people you touch, they will court martial you. You say you touched an abomination. Listen, when you sacrifice yourself to God, you become an abomination to the devil. Relates to the forms of the doctrine. They can share in the emotion of what we are doing during worship. They can raise their hands. They can feel remorse for sin. But they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Let me take, you can go and read Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. It was Paul that said, he said, my greatest desire is that I may know him. And to know in Greek is the word marriage. Adam knew his wife. It means intimacy. He says, this is Paul, one of the greatest and the biggest apostles that ever lived. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. Knowing God is an asset. Not just know him today. I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving, recognizing, understanding the wonders of his person, not his works. The steadfast love of the Lord never change. They are new every morning. Do you know why in heaven they keep saying, holy, holy, holy? When the elders sing the first holy, they bow before him. By the time they lift up their heads, they see another side of God. They bow again. By the time they lift, they see a different side again. Listen, forever they have been bowing and standing, and each time they bow and stand, they see a different. He's never the same. From generation to generation, he's not the same. David was trying to figure out his birthday. David wanted to celebrate his birthday. He said, from generation to generation, you are God. My forefathers that I never met, all of them are dead. God is still alive. So to know God yesterday and don't know him today, you're already outdated. And you know, the Bible said a day is like 1,000 years before God. If you miss your prayers, miss your spiritual exercises for one day, you have missed 1,000 years. Because each time you bow and you get up, there's another side. That's why Paul said that I may know him. He didn't stop there. Progressively, becoming more deeply, intimately acquainted with his. You can go and read the rest at home. I think we should close. Because you must come to know the Iskus Kratos of God. God has muscle. When God wants to mess everybody up, he will flex it. He will flex his muscle. That's what he's about. He says, understanding the wonders, not his person. Understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. So I know him today. I understand him more tomorrow. But I want it to be stronger and stronger. Listen, the more you see God, the more you look like him. I was teaching them in the school of the supernatural. There's nothing extraordinary about people appearing in two or three places. You are supposed to appear in two or three places. It has happened to me before. Anguli, is it true? Why did I lose it? Bitterness of spirit. Bitterness. Come on, you are not a human being. You are a spirit. Trying now to learn how to live on earth. You know what our problem is? What many of us do, you are thinking that you're a human being. That's where the challenge is. What is the wonders of his person? Every day I want to know him more. I want to give yourself three months challenge. In the next 3 months, I want to know God more. And what do you do? Meditation. I'm telling you some of the things, some of the secrets. The devil will fight you in the area of meditation. I meditated. I wish Joy Enabulele is somewhere here. I touched a woman. Something came to her. I didn't know. I touched her normal touch that I'm touching people. These things we read in the Bible, ma, is not, stop setting it in Israel. It's here. Yeah, you read Bible, you put it in Israel, you set it in Palestine. Last week, Thursday, Mrs. Obaruma is there. We pray for a woman. I said, do the, I have a school of apostles, school of people that she's in church. I said, do the preliminaries. So she finished. Let me boast. She went to call the consultant. And I came. I said, have you finished? The girl was shouting. The preliminary, the woman was shouting, my stomach is on fire, my stomach is on fire. Pastor Enoma was there. My stomach is on fire. We came and did just one little thing. We learned to her spirit, she became unconscious for about 7 minutes. Mrs. Obadume was afraid because she's a helper. She started checking pulse immediately. That is not the second time. That's about the second time she had checked pulse where we are doing deliverance. There's one of my daughters. Anywhere she sees us during deliverance, she will run. We told her she came to an inner healing class where I was teaching people. And that day I decided that we were going to do rehearsal of the inner healing. And someone there entered into the white eyes came out. And on the floor, he was dying. This is my daughter. If we say we're doing inner, you know what to say, whether we see inner food or inner this. Oh, what to let seriously. Everybody we touch, we are panicking. And I was telling them quickly. And they say, Mama, which one is quickly now? You do so. I said, that's why I'm teaching you. Listen to me, you are a spirit. If you start spending time in meditation, after some time, you will sit in your room like this, you will levitate. But the devil will make sure you don't do it. I see the one scripture. That I may, in the same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which he exerts over believers. I'm going to come. You see, someone is here. There is a power that is exerting inside Anguli. There's a power pool. She doesn't know. The enemy of her life knows. When she passes, the occult knows. I want to lead the people to pray. That I may, in that same way, that is in that same way of knowing him, in that same way of knowing him intimately, that I, in that same way, will come to know the power that is flowing out from his resurrection, which he exerted. If the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead is in your mortal body, that same spirit that made Jesus to get up, that same spirit is inside you. That thing he did for Jesus to get up is doing it inside you consistently. Why are we not experiencing it? That's why you are in this class today. Actually, I can take you to pray. So many of us are mind Christians. What's the challenge in this introduction? You are saved, but your spirit man has something like a rock inside it. So the Holy Spirit, who is the river of life, he moves over it, moves against it. He can't force you against your will. If there is sin, you will be like someone who is inside a river. But there is a rock. The river flows. It gets to you. But he can't do anything. So, I want you to see this. The Holy Spirit is there, flowing through the man's mind and heart, emotions and body, so he can preach brilliantly, work miracles and say mighty prophecies. But the man's own spirit cannot participate. Why? It's non-functioning. It's encased. So, you see this scripture. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not attend Fem Foundation? Did we not take the mountains and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform miracles? This is not only for pastors, for everybody who walks anywhere. Because the Bible says, as you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Whether you're going to the shop or you're going to the market or you're going to the office, as you go, it's the instruction given to everybody. Now look at this. He said, and then I will declare to you, I never knew you. He said, I never knew you. You know what I never knew it means? I never met you. You know what it was? The functions of your spirit was not in connection with my spirit. May that not be our portion. Just look at all these things you are doing for God. Some sacrifices, and on that day, he says, I never knew you. Because of what? The word knew. I never knew you is in Greek, the same as the word marriage. Jesus is saying, I never fully met you. The nine functions of your spirit. are not awake. We'll take only one, just to whet your appetite. What am I talking about? Specific functions, distinct capacities, what your spirit should be able to do. I love this one. One of the epidemic illnesses of our generation is slumbering spirit. Why is it increasing? Nurture is dwindling. Marriages and homes are falling apart. The greatest need of everyone is love. So for those of you who see people here, you treat them you treat them without love, you are killing something in the person. Stop it. If your sister put a post on Facebook, except na bad thing, post, like it. Comment on it. If your brother put the one that is not good, go and private chat, say this one you put is bad. How many people are their marriages still here? Dwindling. It will affect the spirit of your children and your spirit. Everyone's spirit is asleep to some degree. Some fail to function in all of the 9 areas, or only in 1 or 2. None of us are fully awake or fully slumbering. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we are fasting. I know that if I had more time to rest and do some things. You have never seen me. Some of you have never seen me. It got to a point in my mind, in my this, my life. The people started calling me Hoha. Small girl, now God gave me some gift of prophecy. I didn't have the wisdom to prophesy the thing. I can read as you are passing. In fact, a girl was doing my hair and I corrected her. She didn't open her mouth. She started abusing me in her mind. As she was abusing me, I was feeling as if someone was beating me. I turned and I told everything. She shocked. You don't do my hair again today. Come on. There is nothing extraordinary about anybody. The channels of your spirit can open. I thank God for the ministry of inner healing. Some of us used to be in the ministry that someone do something to go and kill the person. We discover that it's not a ministry. It's woundedness. It's woundedness. There are some things I don't want to share because we are on this. There are some things. I will share it in my life group. The people in my life will share it. Remember, I will share it with you. The first function of your spirit is corporate worship, and then we're going to pray from here. Let's read about it. But an hour is coming, and now, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship the Father in spirit and in truth? To worship the Father by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And then to worship the Father influenced by the Holy Spirit. To worship the Father knowing that the Spirit of the Lord quickened you to worship. When you wake up in the morning, I taught you, when I was teaching you how to begin your prayer life, how to begin quiet time, I said, when you wake up in the morning, don't just jump into prayer. Is that what I taught you? That's what I taught you. I said, calm down. And I told you that there's a scripture that said, quicken me that I may call upon your name. The Bible says, he said, we do not know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself, man does not talk to God. Only God talks to God. If you want to talk to God, you must allow the Holy Spirit to empower and energize your spirit so that prayer will not be boring and a drag. But when your spirit is broken and your spirit is sleeping, and the Holy Spirit comes, to empower you, the equipment, the system that is supposed to take that information to use is not functioning. God is spirit. God doesn't talk to your body. He talks to your spirit. All your dealings with God, he talks to your spirit. Those who speak, so let's look at just this corporate work, corporate worship. Then we pray. If your spirit is awake, I want to show you symptoms. They feel the uplifting presence of the Lord in a worship service. No, your spirit is awake. Not all the nine, no. Those whose spirits are awake, they feel his anointing pouring over them. Their spirit is touched and filled anew with his spirit. Such joy and love well up within their soul. Each time you find depression, just know that some functions in your spirit is not working again. No matter, listen, joy doesn't happen by happenings. Joy is the ecosystem that you have on the inside. A Christian must have joy and love. If your spirit is functioning, your joy and love will always be there. Look at the scripture. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy. If your spirit is functioning, you'll always bubble with joy. Those of you who frown, so I will respect you. You make your face like folded nigger, folded wrapper, so I will respect you. So we remind you now that it's a function of a sick spirit. Enabled us to praise him with a full heart. When God moves upon us, he moves first upon our spirit. Our spirit rejoices in his love. It has to talk about joy. So when God wants to do something, he first of all does it to your spirit. When he gets wisdom, he gives it to your spirit. He gets knowledge, he gives it to your spirit. He wants you to make money. He brings the knowledge, the discretion on how to get the money, he puts it in your spirit. There's someone he wants you to meet, he puts it in your spirit. Your spirit does not, what your spirit will do, the function of your spirit is not to interpret it. The function of your spirit is, your spirit will go and give it to your soul. If your soul is wounded, you can see that some of the things we are blaming God about is not even God's fault. If your soul, in your soul there is a wound, God downloads a nation and say, Osai, take this nation. Your spirit picks it. But your spirit is trying to hand it over to your intellect. And your mind has not been renewed so that you will discern what God is saying. It will remain there. Look at what, my soul exalts the Lord. Why? Because my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. So the spirit picked that heaven is excited and transferred it to the soul. As a Christian, your spirit, your soul must always be intact. Awakened people not only are carried by him into worship, they also sense and feel the swell of other people's spirits and hearts. If your spirit is awake, the spirit bears witness with my spirit that you are sons of God. If your spirit is awake, true worship knits our hearts together. People who have slumbered, I don't know what they are talking about. I never feel God's presence before. Sometimes they will have a little shiver. Just a little. Listen to me. Prayer is taking a bath. If you did not pray today, even if you use nchankota to wait, you have not bathed. You have not bathed. The people are looking at me today. When they are in a service, these people who are sleeping, and others are raising their hands to praise God, they don't even know what is happening at all. They do not worship. They don't even know whether there is any worship. Next week, we will go to the second function of your spirit. Don't clap yet. Any question? Any question? Any question? So we're going to pray. We'll begin with repentance. We're going to begin with repentance. The whole of this week in our fast, we are repenting. Some of us here need to repent of motives, not actions. Motives, intentions, intents of the heart. Some of us need to repent. of actions. So you're going to say to God, the things I have done that made my spirit not to function optimally, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, in this week of fast, I ask you to wash me. Let's repent again. I repent. I hope many of you know how to do warfare. You must always start with repentance. Don't make a demand without repentance. So you start with repentance. What am I repenting? Let's humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. I repent, O Lord, for envying my brother. I repent. Even from the way you're praying, it means you understand what I said. I repent. I repent. Forgive us, Lord. I repent. Lord, we are sorry. We've turned around and gone astray. Your trust for us we have betrayed. Your power we don't recognize. Your lordship we have despised. We cannot pretend. We all now repent. Forgive us, Lord, we pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.